Thank you so much for allowing me to share the word of the Lord with you today. God is so good to us. He loves us. He loves his church. I want to continue. We were in John 7 last week, and if you'd like to turn to John 8, we'll be there today. And I want to start off with John 8:31, Jesus' words. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So Jesus spoke his word so intentionally, like an arrow from a bow. And the target of this arrow is believers. This is incredible. Jesus said to the people who believed in him. These are the words that reach their target, to those who believed in Jesus. And I can't get over this this simple fact that the words that Jesus is about to speak, those words are to believers. He says, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." We've been talking a lot about discipleship, growing as disciples. And have you examined the teaching of the Lord lately? Have you looked at what Jesus actually taught in his ministry, and are you remaining faithful to that? So this message in John chapter 8 that I'm going to read to you was initially targeted towards believers. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Faithfulness to those teachings, the teachings of Jesus, will lead you to the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth comes into focus as we live out what we've been taught by Jesus. And that's an experiential knowledge that comes to us and delivers us and frees us, makes us truly free. And Jesus says in the scripture says in verse 33, "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we'll be set free?" You know, this is a evidence of deception, an evidence of a lack of discernment that keeps us bound as the people of God. You know, what a fallacy. They had been slaves on many occasions, not to mention in Egypt, which all the world knew about. But it's possible, even for believers, remember Jesus is speaking to believers in him, it's possible for believers to miss the truth and to become bound by lies, bound by evil. And so verses 34 through 38, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Yes, I realize that you're descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father, but you are following the advice of your father." And so Jesus is saying here, there's a way out of slavery. The ability to move from the faith of a servant to the faith of a son is found in Jesus's ministry. We can go beyond this religious servant type attitude into a true sonship, which is what Jesus wants for us. You know, he came into this world to give us his relationship with the Father. He wants us to move into true sonship and daughtership. He wants us to become the family of God. And some people that he's ministering to right in this very moment, some are relying on spiritual pedigrees and religious accomplishments instead of relying on Jesus and a deep love for him and a deep affection for him. And so Jesus diagnoses the problem here in these verses 34 through 38, he diagnoses the problem. "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. Jesus diagnoses the problem because there's no room in your hearts for my message. Verse 38, I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. So Jesus says the problem, the diagnosis of the problem for Jesus is there's no room in your hearts for my message. You know, Jesus is trying to bring us the message of the Father, and there's no room in the hearts of those gathered to receive that message. It's a dilemma. You know, we're getting ready for winter, and you know, I'm thinking I need to put the chairs, the Adirondack chairs in my yard away for the winter. I need to put my little fire pit away for the winter. And there's a dilemma because right now there's 6 bicycles in my garage for my family. Where are these things going to go? That's a dilemma. Jesus is saying that, in fact, that's the dilemma that's holding you in bondage. That's the dilemma that's holding you back from where God wants you to be. There's no room left for my message and what I want to put in your heart, what I want to put deep within you. There's no room there. It's filled. It's filled to the brim with other things. And Jesus says, some things need to go so that true freedom can come in my message. And so there are things that you currently believe that are untrue, and messages that you cling to, Jesus is saying, that block the message that will ultimately lead to your freedom. Is that true of your life today? Are there things that you're clinging to, things that you're believing, things that are in your heart that are in the way, that are keeping you in bondage, keeping you from that deep relationship that Jesus wants you to have with the Father? You know, there are believers who aren't free, Jesus is alluding to in these passages. There are believers in him who aren't free. And Jesus wants them walking in freedom. He wants each of us walking in freedom, but room must be made. You know, we only have one heart, and there's only one place that the message of Jesus can be stored. It can't be stored anywhere else. And Jesus is asking us to make room for his message that brings freedom, that will bring us into the truth, which will bring freedom. Verses 39 through 47, the response of the crowd. Now, I'm assuming unbelievers are stepping in here at verse 39. Now, those who don't believe his message in verse 39, and the response here is, "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." They replied, "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me, because I've come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God." And so now the unbelievers jump in, and Jesus points to something here. He says spiritual bondage has its roots in the lies of the enemy, the father of lies. What's truly holding you back today are the lies that you're believing. If you feel today that you're being held back, if you feel that you're not living in the fullness of the life that God has for you. If you feel that your life is not abundant, chances are there are lies that you're believing that aren't from the real Father, but from the Father of lies. There are things that in your life that you've chosen to embrace and to believe that aren't Jesus's truth, and those things will certainly hold us back. And the sad truth is that this can even happen to believers, and we need to be set free, and it's the truth that sets us free. And so I want us to think about that. What are the lies that we're believing today that are holding us back? And Jesus says that anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. And so let's pray for that response in our hearts to be one of gladness when we hear the word of God. And so that's God's heart for us, to hear the words of God gladly and to allow them through obedience to lead us into freedom. The Lord's heart for us is freedom. And so this tough message continues, this tough time of ministry for Jesus continues in verses 48 through 51. The people retorted, "You Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon?" Jesus is talking about their freedom and their deliverance, and now they're accusing him of needing deliverance. And Jesus says in verse 49, "No, I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true judge. I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die." And so here we have it. You know, in the first 300 years of the church, there was much more emphasis placed on loving obedience and doing what Jesus actually said to do. There's much more emphasis on that in the early days, that loving obedience, doing what Jesus asked us to do. There was such an emphasis on that in the first 300 years of the church. And from that point, we've gradually slipped more and more into a cerebral Christianity where it doesn't really matter what you do. As long as you believe the right things, that's all that matters. But true belief, please understand this from God's word, true belief will make its way into our actions and our daily habits and into our daily lives. True belief will result in doing the things that Jesus said to do and faithfully living out his message. Otherwise, we fall into Gnosticism, that it's all about just requiring this special knowledge, and that's all it's about. No, it's receiving the message of Jesus, embracing him and allowing his spirit to change our lives, so much so that his spirit begins to move through us so that we practically do what Jesus asked us to do in our everyday lives and in this world. And so the message can't just be here in our head. It's got to reach our hearts. Our hearts, the combination of our head and our heart will translate into our daily lives, which will bring transformation wherever we go. And so Jesus is saying, "I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die." Now this stirs up more controversy, more trouble for Jesus. The people are angry. Verse 52, it says this, "The people said, 'Now we know you are possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died, but you say anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?'" Jesus answered, "If I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. You say he's our God, but you don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I would be as great a liar as you, but I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad." The people said, "You aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am." And at that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. Incredible. So the people are, in essence, are saying, Jesus, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And Jesus says, it doesn't matter. I only want to glorify my Father. And of course, it's the Father who wants to glorify the Son. And Jesus says, I know him and I obey him. And he wants us to follow in the same manner as disciples. Really, today is a message on discipleship. And Jesus is showing us the way of discipleship, to know God and to obey him. And he says, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of my coming. He saw it and was glad. And Jesus is saying, I am. I tell you the truth, before Abraham was ever born, I am. And in that moment, all of you who know your Old Testament well know that Jesus was saying, I am the great I am. I am God. I am God. That's what Jesus is saying. And this just created an incredible stir. I love the way that the Message translates this, what Jesus had to say. The Message translation says this, believe me, I am who I am long before Abraham was anything. Wow. And so Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It says, Jesus said things like this, I'm the exact representation of the Father. I am the Word become flesh. The scriptures say he is the image of the invisible God. And so that's key to our discipleship. So key to our discipleship that we would know who Jesus really is, his true identity, this one whom we're following, this one who's discipling us. And so in closing today on this message about discipleship, where Jesus was speaking to believers and he's saying, hey, you need more freedom in your life. You need more truth in your life. Let me show you the way to freedom. Let me show you the way to a life that you can't even imagine. It's so abundant. It's so good. And this is the pathway of discipleship. I want to show you how to get there. And so Jesus, as stones are getting ready to fly, it says here at verse 59, at that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. And so at that point, this is such a costly message on discipleship for Jesus to give it. The stones are ready to fly. In this costly message of discipleship, Jesus reveals some things. Although some in the crowd were glad, and Jesus kept going back there from time to time, many were ready just to kill because of what he's saying. And Jesus is saying, because that all happened because there was no room in the hearts for those people to receive God's message. They had already made up their minds. They were so bound in lies that they wanted to kill God standing right before them. And so, in this costly message on discipleship, Jesus teaches us some things about being a disciple. Number one, we need to discover his teachings. How long has it been since you really examined what Jesus had to say in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have you discovered his teachings? Number two, are you obeying them faithfully? And if you're struggling, ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, and he will help you to work on that faithful obedience. Are you obeying the teachings of Jesus faithfully? And part of discipleship is knowing in faith that these teachings followed faithfully will lead to delivering truth, that you will become more free. We also need to pray against deception in our lives. The problem with deception is it's so deceiving, and so we need freedom from that. We need to pray against deception. We need to pray for discernment as disciples. We need to walk in the holy fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to realize that believers can be bound by lies told so cleverly they sound like the truth. We can be bound, and we need to be discerning and to have this discernment of the Holy Spirit. We need to make room in our hearts for more truth, to remove the clutter, remove the things that are in the way so that we can have more truth in our life. And of course, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We need to renounce lies. That means to verbally reject the lies of the enemy and ask for the Holy Spirit's power to embrace real truth. We need to commit to living out what we believe. And as we live out what we believe, this will form our loves. We'll acquire new taste for the kingdom. We'll begin to love the good things of the kingdom rather than the kingdom of darkness. And then we need, lastly, to realize whom it is that is discipling us, who it is that is discipling us. We need to realize the one that we are following, the one that we are trusting with our lives, the one who's discipling us, Jesus, is in fact God, the great I am. And so that's reason to rejoice. And so I'm so thankful to be able to minister to you and share God's word with you. And I want to tell you today that God loves you with all of his heart, and he wants to disciple you. And he's asking, will you come follow me? Will you follow me? Let me pray for us today. Lord, we just praise you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for discipling us. We thank you for your call to come and follow you. And we want to be better disciples, Lord. We want to be closer to you, God. Lord, I pray that you would deliver us from the lies of the enemy. Show us the truth, God. Lord, forgive us of the lies that we've believed. Lord, we renounce those lies in Jesus' name. You may have things right now that you want to renounce, that you want to reject, verbally reject. We renounce the lies of the enemy. And Lord, we pray that you would come, Holy Spirit, and push those strongholds down. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us and fill us with the truth that sets us free. We pray for more of your truth, Jesus. More of your truth. And Lord, we ask for the grace to live out this Christian life, to follow you, and to have a great faith in you, Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we thank you for this day. Lord, draw us closer to you. Strengthen our church family, whether online or meeting in person. Lord, we just pray for strength for our entire church family, and for your touch on each and every person, your encouragement today, your joy, and your breakthrough. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So thankful for you. God bless you.